Gospel of Mark and pick up where we left off last week, dealing with the subject of the primary ingredients in the local church. Again, this is Stand for the Local Church Month. Stand for the Local Church Month, and as we're standing for the local church, we're talking about making sure that we do our part for the local church. And the primary ingredients, we saw some of them last week, and we'll look at another ingredient tonight, or this morning, I should say. Mark chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 13 down to verse 19. 13 through 19. Amen. And by the way, we came off the teaching of the Christian home, and we made mention that no home can stand and survive the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil without the aid of the local church. It's just an impossibility. I need the church's influence in my life. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 19. Verse 13 says, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house." We looked at this area last week and began to talk about the primary ingredients of every local church. We went all the way back to the first church that was made up of this group of people here, Jesus Christ being the pastor, and every church has basically the same ingredients. And we saw that prayer makes up the church, and preaching makes up the church, and then the power of the Holy Spirit makes up the church, and then there's an ingredient that all of that works through. The power works through, the prayer works through, and the preaching works through, and that's people. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, the people being one of the ingredients in local church. By the way, without people, there is no church. Amen. The people are the church. Amen. If it's just a church building, that's all it is, a church building. The body of Christ are the believers, the people, and those are the body of Christ. And so we're going to be looking at some of the people in the church, starting with one in particular who is probably a lot like you. His name happens to be Peter. And I'm sure we can all find something about Peter that resembles our life. And there's a Peter in every church. Sometimes there's several Peters, amen. We're going to look a little bit at Peter this morning as one of the primary ingredients of people in the church. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. As we look at the people in the local church, Lord, one by one, we'll look and see some simultaneously, some individually. Excuse me, but Lord, we know that these ingredients are in every church, and Lord, these are the individuals which make the church go. Thank you so much for giving us a snapshot in the Word of God that we can see people. Lord, their good parts, their bad parts, their faults, Lord, and their faithfulness, their good, and Lord, their grief that they give. And I pray that as we look at these people, we might see ourselves, see where we need to shore up an area, or Lord, maybe give an area over to you to use further in the kingdom of God. Most of all, Lord, when it's all said and done, if there is one here without Jesus Christ, may that man, woman, boy, or girl leave with a clearer and a deeper understanding of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in their life. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need today, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Lord, here I am.
Amen. Thank you, Antoinette and Miss Natasha. I surrender. Amen. I do trust that's your prayer today. You are surrendering all to the Lord Jesus Christ to do what he wants you to do today. Amen. There is no better life than the surrendered life. Amen. You can have your own plans and do your own things, but if God's not in charge, it's going to be a mess. Amen. And I give that to you straight away. But anyway, we're getting back to what we started last week and dealing with the primary ingredients of the local church. We're going to stand for the local church. We need to know what ingredients are in it. Amen. And it's a blessing to know that many of the churches across the world, and I should say all the churches, are primarily the same. They're God's churches. They're going to have certain basic ingredients in them, and we began to see that last week. And I began to talk about this, by the way. If you came here thinking that this is a perfect church, I think you are gravely mistaken. The minute you stepped in the door, it became imperfect. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the minute you and I step foot in any church, it makes it an imperfect church because we're imperfect people. And so we don't have any such thing called a perfect church. You say, well, preacher,
Surely here where Jesus called the disciples and surrounded himself with them, that was a perfect church. No, Jesus was perfect, but they were still sinners. Amen. To the point that one was a devil. Amen. You can't get any more imperfect than that. Amen. And so when you step foot in any church, it becomes an imperfect church. Amen. But because of Jesus Christ being a perfect person leading, we have guidance. Because we have perfect power leading in the Holy Spirit, we have guidance. Because we have perfect precepts for learning in the Word of God, we have guidance. And so although we're imperfect, we have perfection guiding us through the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit, and His Word. Somebody say amen. I'm so glad that even though that we're all imperfect and we're sinners, God still gives us what we need to be perfected. Amen. That's good. And so no matter what church you go to, you're going to find certain things in that church. One of the things that we saw last week was prayer in that local church. Notice verse 13. He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. We saw over in Luke the parallel to that. Luke 6, 12 and 13 said this. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So prayer is going to be in every good local church. That's one of the ingredients. By the way, that's a major ingredient. Before you join a church, you should pray. Before you do any major activity, you ought to pray. Before you make choices, you ought to pray. Before you get your job, you ought to pray. And raising your children, you ought to pray. Before you drive, you ought to pray. When you're on the road, you ought to pray. When you're just doing your business, you ought to pray. We just ought to pray. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And not only do we see prayer in this passage, we also see preaching. Notice what it says down there in verse number 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. He might send them forth to preach. And so he wanted them to be with him and learn from him so that he could send them to preach. And so in any good local church, there should be some prayer and some preaching. Amen. Well, preacher, I didn't come for the preaching. I came for the fellowship. No, the fellowship comes when the preaching. You can't have good fellowship without some good sound preaching. Amen. Because your fellowship will be corrupt. Amen. Y'all don't look at me like that. Y'all know it's true. You get some gossip going and some busybody mess going on. And I'll tell you what's the truth. Before long, you're talking about everything under the sun except Jesus Christ. So you need preaching to keep your mind straight. You need preaching to keep your heart straight. You need preaching to guide you, to gird you, to put you where you ought to be. Amen. You need preaching. Folks say, well, I don't like loud preaching. Okay, I'll preach soft and silent. And then half of y'all will be sleeping 2 minutes. Amen. Never forget that one time I had a loud preacher was preaching and somebody was dropping off to sleep. And the preacher said, and God said, I gave a heart attack. And everybody knew they was falling asleep. Amen. They wake you up. Preaching wakes you up. Amen. Preaching stirs you up. Preaching will get you up. Sometimes preaching will make you feel like you ate up. It's when they start talking about your personal sin. Amen. You know, man, you can talking about my sin. Who didn't told him what I've been doing? The Holy Spirit. By the way, preachers are not detectives. They're not FBIs. We don't have eyes in the back of our head. We don't have agents on every corner. And we don't scout to see what you do. You know why? I got all my own business I got to take care of. I ain't got time to be scouting you down. Amen. I got my own stuff. Let's see if they're tithing. Let's see what club they went to last night. Let's see if they're smoking e-cigarettes. I don't have time for all that. I don't have time for that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Amen. If you don't give it up for him, amen, you ain't going to give it up. Amen. And so we saw this preaching in the local church. It awakens, it arrests, it brings awareness, it alarms people, it promises, and it pricks the hearts of people. And then we see power, verse number 15. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils, amen. And so God said the Holy Spirit's going to give them some power to do some things. Now, they did some things that we don't do today, amen. By the way, people can still get healed. Demons can still get cast out, amen, Brother Serge. That can still happen today. Healings can happen divinely, amen. But it ain't because you're going to call some preacher to put some oil on your head and slap you upside the head, amen. It's going to come by divine intervention of God Almighty through prayer. And so God still does some of those things even today, but not like the televangelists like to say they are being done. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. So we're going to have power in the local church to be a witness for God. And then in verses 16 through 19, we see people. People. So we've got to have the prayer. We've got to have the preaching. We've got to have the power. But God gave all of that to work through people. Without people, there is no church. Amen. By the way, non-people don't tithe. Did you catch that? Non-people don't tithe. People tithe. Non-people don't pray. People pray. Non-people don't utilize the power of the Holy Spirit. People use the power of the Holy Spirit. And so these people here are listed, and I'm so glad that they are listed, because the ingredients of prayer, preaching, and power are all used by people. And we are the medium our Lord Jesus chose to use. And whether we like it or not, we are it. He doesn't use the angels to preach in the church. He doesn't use the angels to go soul winning. He doesn't use the angels to tithe. He doesn't use the angels to give offerings to the church. He doesn't use the angels to pray for you. He doesn't use the angels to read the Bible for you. Those are things that people do. Amen. Now, angels have their own jobs, but it's not the job of the local church. Somebody say amen. You know, we have this idea. We just sit back. God will use the angels to do that work. God's going to let the angels do some work later on. Amen. But right now, the angels are there to minister to you to help keep you right. Amen. Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister to them who shall be heirs of eternal life or of salvation? And so people, however encouraging or discouraging we may be, we still have a perfect person, a perfect power, and perfect precepts to do the job. You look to your left, you look to your right, you look in front of you and in back of you, and you will see people. And all these people God wants to use. He wants to use in his service. And we'll always have people in every local church. If there are no people there, there's no local church. We are the ones Jesus died for. We're the ones to take the gospel message to the world in which we live. And with these 12 representatives here, there are types in our local churches. Some have more, some have less. And these disciples Jesus chose, and their characteristics he did not hide, because you will find these types in every local church to varying degrees. He didn't hide things down to the point that he calls Judas Iscariot the one that would betray him. He didn't hide it down to calling James and John the sons of thunder or Boanerges. And so no matter what these character traits started out like, after 3.5 years being with Jesus, some of these men were different and they were never the same. What does that tell me? That although somebody may come in one way, they shouldn't go out the same way they came. You spend any amount of time with Jesus, and my friend, you'll be different. What did it say? He called these 12 to be with him. And then he wanted to send them to preach the gospel. You spend any amount of time with Jesus Christ, my friend, you'll be different. You pray with him, you'll be different. You read about him, you'll be different. You give to him, you'll be different. You sacrifice for him, you'll be different. You talk about him, you'll be different. You spend any amount of time with Jesus, my friend, you will be different. And so although these 3.5 years spent with Jesus Christ, they might have started out a little rocky. When it was all said and done, they were not the same. That tells me that when I come to Christ, I may be a little rocky. Say, preacher, you are a little rocky, a little rockhead, amen. Hey, I don't care how I was when I came. Guess what? I'm not the same as I was when I came. After years spending with Jesus, he's cut off some of the rockiness. He's smoothed the stone out a little bit. I can roll a little bit freer now. Some of y'all still rolling like this. But when Jesus smoothed you out, you roll like a marble. Amen. You say, preach, that's why you got that smooth head. Amen. That could be some of it. Amen. I don't know. But they spent time with him with the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. They had the continuing power of God to do the will of God despite the character or despite the background. And the same with you and I. The first person that we're going to talk about is probably the one that most of you and I can identify with, And he is the one, by the way, that is the most spoken about other than the Apostle Paul. And his name is Peter. Simon Peter, to be exact. Notice down there in verse number 16. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. So when Jesus Christ called these apostles Peter, he gave him a different name. Or Simon, he gave a different name, Peter, which means a stone. And could be because of his character. He had a rock-like quality about himself. And I want you to notice some things about this guy by the name of Peter, because I think there's a little bit of Peter in every last one of us. Now, you may be a Peterette, but there's a little bit of Peter in every last one of us today. Say, preacher, what was Peter like? One of the overwhelming character traits about Peter, he was outgoing and he was outspoken. I believe that more than any other apostle that spent time with Jesus, the apostle Peter is most like you and I. He was a natural born leader. He was bold at times. He was brash at times. He was blunt at times, even brutal with his words. And I'm sure many of you can identify with that. How many of y'all ever been brutal with your words? Amen to your sisters and brothers all the time. How many of y'all ever been bold with your words? Amen. All the time. How many have been blunt with your words? Amen. Amen. Now, all of us may not be a natural born leader, but many of us have been bold, have been blunt, have been brash, have been brutal with our words. And Peter also had other qualities. He was moldable. He was teachable. He was durable. He was available. He was reliable, and he was trainable. And although he had these rock-like qualities, and although he's a natural-born leader, God could invest in him and use him and use him to lead the others. Now, all wasn't good with the Apostle Peter, just like all is not good with you and I. But you know what? Giving yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can work wonders through your life. And Peter gave his life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus worked with him. His overwhelming character trait was that of being outgoing and outspoken. He was not like his brother Andrew. Andrew was behind the scenes. We'll talk about him later on. Peter was more outspoken, more outgoing. And while many of us may not be outgoing or outspoken, there are other qualities that we'll see in Peter that you may have. Peter has a range of character traits that we see in our local churches today, and he is a representation of one of the types in our church. First thing I want you to notice about Peter that I think many of you can identify with is that he was stubbornly elusive. He was stubbornly elusive. How many of y'all are stubborn in here today? That'll be honest and admitted. Amen. Just a couple. Amen. He was stubbornly elusive. Peter, being a stone, he had some hard-headedness about him. And I want you to notice the word elusive means the action of deceiving or misleading. Something that looks or seems different from what it is. A misleading image presented to the vision. Something that is false or not real, but that seems to be true or real. And for this, let's go to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. He was stubbornly elusive. And you have stubbornly elusive people in every church. Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, notice down in verse number 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So get the picture. Jesus asks Simon if he can get in the ship. And he goes out a little bit so he can speak to the mass group of people. As he's on the waves, he's speaking to this crowd of people. And he's in Simon's ship, verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So I guess he said, Simon, since I took up most of your time with your boat, you haven't had a time to do any fishing. Let me go ahead and get you a catch that you could have had at the time that I used your boat. I don't know, but I know he told him to get his net and put it out. But you notice he said, put your nets out. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. In other words, he said, Jesus, you just don't understand. Now, I'm a fisherman. We fish at night, and we fished all night. And Jesus, we didn't catch anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Notice the difference there. Jesus said, let down your nets for a draught. Peter said, I will let down the net. What am I saying here? Peter was stubbornly elusive. He said, you know what? I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing. But nevertheless, I'll go ahead and do what you're telling me to do. I'll be elusive about this thing. I'll make it appear like I'm really obeying you, but I'm really not obeying you. But I am obeying you. Stubbornly elusive. All of us have some Peter in us when we first get saved. I talk to people and they get saved. I say, hey, I see you back tonight. They say, see you next Sunday. I say, hey, see you on Wednesday. Yeah, you'll see me next Sunday. Hey, are you coming to the men's devotion? You'll see me next Sunday. You know what they're saying? No. I know better. Stubbornly elusive. You got them in every church. Got them in every church. I say, hey, I don't want to get you to lie. When are you coming back? Some folks will say, well, I don't know. At least they're being honest. Instead of being stubbornly elusive. See you tonight. See you next Sunday. Amen. Peter was not convinced that Jesus knew what he was talking about. So he said, I will let down the net. I'll partially obey you to prove my point that you don't know what you're talking about. There are no fish in this sea. We tried it already. Peter was an experienced fisherman. Jesus was not an experienced fisherman. But the difference is Jesus made the fish. And Jesus commands the fish. Just like he commands the waves and the sea and they obey him, he commands the fish. And if he says jump in the net, guess what? They're going to jump in the net. And so although Jesus said, let down your nets, let me repay you for what you've done. He said, I'll let down the net. I'll be stubbornly elusive about this thing. Sometimes we think we know better than God when it comes to his instructions. And we have them in every church. They think they know better than God when it comes to their life, when it comes to their finances, when it comes to their children, when it comes to their husbands, when it comes to their wives. They think they really know better than God. So I'll do it my way. I'll be stubbornly elusive. I'll obey halfway. Got them in every church. When it comes to Bible reading, I'll be stubbornly elusive. When it comes to prayer, I'll be stubbornly elusive. When it comes to attending church, preacher, I'll just do it my way. I won't obey the instructions of God. I'll come back when I get good and ready. Stubbornly elusive in every church. When it comes to Bible study, soul winning, you name it, they think they know better than God. You got them in every church. But I'm so glad that the church is not made up of just that type of personality. That'd be a bad church to be a part of. But that is one of the character traits of Peter, being stubbornly elusive. Notice what it says down there in verse number 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net singular breaks. If you listen to Jesus, your nets plural would not have broken. The net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, that's a lot of fish. That's a lot of fish. That they began to sink. That's a good fishing day, G. Amen. See, when you obey Jesus, I mean, you don't have those problems. But when you're stubborn and elusive, you can have that problem. Notice what it says down there, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. You know what Peter is saying? I should have obeyed. I should have listened. I shouldn't have been so stubborn. I shouldn't have been so elusive about this thing. You told me to let down the nets. There's obviously something about you that's special. There's something about you. I'm a sinful man. Get away from me. You don't want to be around somebody like me. Oh, if we had that humility today. Oh, if we had that humility today. People will blatantly come into the house of God, flaunting their sin before a holy God. Peter said, no, depart from me. I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. For he was astonished, it said. He admitted, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished at all that were with him. He was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which he had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. I love his compassion. He said, yeah, you may be stubbornly elusive. You may have tried to pull the wool over my eyes. I said, let down the net. You put down one little old tiny old net. Your ship's almost sunk because of that. You may be unrighteous, but guess what? I've got news. I'm compassionate. Aren't you glad that Jesus is compassionate? When stubbornly elusive people come through the house of God, they come through the doors, they understand that Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's compassionate. He loves them. He wants to save them. And although they may be stubbornly elusive, spend some time with them, he'll change your heart.
Amen.
He'll change your heart. Peter said, depart from me. But Jesus said, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, I want you to notice that. It says, and when they brought their ships to land. This is not just about Peter. They forsook all and followed him. The others were just as impressed and blown away as Peter. And they said, you know what? This man is worth following. This man is worth following. What am I saying? When they first came on the scene, stubbornly elusive. Let down the nets. You don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. Hey, when I first came into the church back in February 3rd of 1991, I came into the church and I thought, that preacher don't know what he's talking about. I'll come and I'll pay my time and I'll come and sit down and listen. But you don't know what you're talking about. I got my life together. I've been baptized before. I do good works. I pray every night. I read my Bible. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't need to be saved. I'm already right with God. Then the preaching began to go out, convicted my soul. And like Peter, I said, I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. Hey, when you see the cross of Christ, when you see his death for you, when you see his burial for you, his resurrection for you, and when you see your sin, when you see him high and lifted up for you, my friend, you can't help but say, depart from me. I'm a sinful person. You cannot be in the presence of God and not experience that holiness of God. If you don't experience that holiness, you're not in the presence of God. Everybody that saw him in the Old and New Testament had to bow before him when they saw his glory. When they saw his glory. And so the first type of a personality that we see that Peter has is stubbornly elusive. And stubbornly elusive people will be in every church. But I'm so glad that after spending time with Jesus, he can change that. He can change that. And although Peter may have had some of the same qualities afterwards, they weren't like they were in the beginning. So you know the character trait about him. Go over to Matthew chapter 14. Now, these character traits are in every last church. Stubbornly elusive people. Then there's something else about Peter in Matthew chapter 14. Say, what is that, preacher? Impulsive people. Impulsive people. Over in chapter 14, we find Jesus walking on the water. And notice, pick it up with me, chapter 14 of Matthew. Oh, let's go down to verse number 20. No, let's go to verse number 22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go to before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. See, prayer in the local church, amen. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And so Jesus had told them to get into the ship, and he said, go to the other side. He went to pray, and fourth watch of the night, it's late night, early morning, Jesus is coming on the water walking. Notice what it says down there in verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And here's the impulsive people in the church. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Impulsive people. Impulsive means doing things or tending to do things suddenly and without careful thought. Now, didn't Peter know that man don't walk on water? But when you're impulsive, you do things or tend to do things suddenly without careful thought. It means acting or tending to act on impulse, done suddenly and without planning. And notice what he says. And he said, come. I can just see Peter now getting out that ship. And the other apostle saying, Peter, man, don't walk on water. What do you think you're doing? But Jesus is walking on the water. But Jesus is God. You're not. You're man. You're going to sink, boy. Get back in this boat. I can just see Peter now getting out that boat. No, Jesus said, I can come. So I'm coming. Here I come, Jesus. And the other disciple said, watch, he sink. Boom. And he stands up. And he puts that other foot out there. And he stands up. And the other apostles are in the boat saying, Peter's like Jesus now. And I can just see Peter starting to walk on that water. Getting the hang of it. It's good. Probably look back at the apostles. Walking out there. Hey, I can do this. No water's getting in my sandals. This is good. I can just see him now. And I can see the other apostles in the boat. All sorts of, why didn't we do, we could have did that. What? Who makes him so special? We can get out this boat. Now, they got out that boat, they did drown. Jesus didn't tell them to come. He told Peter to come. Hey, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, if he just said, come forth, everybody probably would have came forth out of the grave. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He called him by name. Hey, there's power in Jesus' name. He said, come. Peter's the only one to ask. And so he went out there. And so you've got these impulsive people that will just jump. Missions time comes around, they'll pledge, they'll give. They hear about tithing, they'll start tithing. They hear about a church attendance, they'll start coming. They hear about Bible reading, they'll read their Bible. They'll memorize scripture, they get excited. Discipleship, let's do it. They get impulsive. Let's do it. They don't think about the consequences at all. Let's just do it. Then that can be good and that can be bad. Verse 29, he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when, there we go. Impulsive people don't think it through all the time. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. We say, hey, you need to be in church, and we come. But then when adversity comes, I take my eyes off of the Lord and put them on the problems. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Adversity comes, trials comes, not as easy as it used to be, and walking on the water makes me look like I'm going to sink because I took my eyes off of the one who I should be looking at. So anytime you and I take our eyes off the Lord, we're going to sink. And when you do things off of an impulse, oftentimes you haven't thought it all the way through. Not always, but oftentimes. And when adversity or when trials or when struggles come, my impulse now that I stepped out on, I don't carry it through because I'm not looking at the source. And the source was Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me. He had sense enough to know that in my impulse, I still know that God loves me. In my impulse, I still know that he'll save me. And in my impulse, even though I'm drowning, he is here. And in my impulse, he told me to come. He'll rescue me. I'm so glad that we make impulse decisions and we do things off of impulse. God is still there to help us out. He's still there to pick us up. Now, there may be some consequences. He got wet. He got wet. It said he began to sink. So some of him got wet. Jesus is still dry. But Peter got wet. Now, I don't know how much of him got wet. But my Bible says beginning to sink, so at least his ankles got wet at least. And can't you just imagine Peter going down and what was solid is now liquid? And can you feel his heartbeat? And can't you hear him saying, I got all my clothes on and I can't swim with all these clothes on. Lord, save me. Sometimes we go through tough times and we stepped out on impulse. I'm so glad that God comes and saves us. And he helps us out. See, you got impulsive people in every church. They're going to sign up on your program. They're going to try and say they're going to help you out. And they're going to say, I'll be there to minister. They're going to say, I'll be there to do this and I'll do that. And the impulse is great and the impulse is good. And then storms come in their life and you can't find them with the FBI. They're not there anymore. Although they said they'd help you, although they said they'd minister with you, although they said they'd go and do this, although they said they'd be faithful, although they said they'd give, although they said they'd tithe, although they said they'd be in church, adversity comes, tough times come, can't find them. Why? Beginning to sink. But you know what you do? You cry unto the Lord. You say, Lord, I made an impulsive decision. I was excited to do it. I was happy to do it. I wanted to do it. I really did. But these problems came up, Lord. Lord, save me. I'm so glad he still is in the saving business. I'm so glad that he didn't let Peter drown, to let you and I know that if you're an impulsive person and you tend to do things on impulse, he still loves you and he'll still save you. He's still there for you. So we see we've got stubbornly elusive people in the church. Peter said, I'll let down the net. We've got impulsive people in the church. If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He said, come. Without thinking, it seems that man doesn't walk on water. Peter burst out with a request, bid me come. And we too make some incredible statements like, bid me, I'll give, I'll go, I'll sacrifice, I'll promise or vow. I'll be there, I'll help, I'll clean, I'll serve, I'll sing. But Jesus still will save us. There's a third thing about Peter I want us to see. Go back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Elusive, stubborn people will be in church. Impulsive people will be in the church. But then you've got this other person in the church. Assertive means characterized by bold or confident statements, confident in behavior or style. Matthew chapter 16, you find Peter making a statement about the church. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus said, you know what? Who people say I am? What are they saying about me? And they began to give their input, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? In other words, he said, I know what they said, but what do you say? What do you say? By the way, that's a good question. That's a good question. Whom do you say Christ is? Good question. Ask yourself that. Who is he? Who is he to me? Is he your Savior? Is he your friend? Is he your counselor? Is he your guide? Is he your provider? Is he the one to trust? Who is he to you? Who is he? Because he said, now I know what they're saying. But let me know what the church, I want to know what the church says. What does the church say? Who is Jesus Christ to you? So we ask him a question. Now, this is the same stubbornly elusive person. This is the same person that's impulsive. And now this same person is assertive. Notice what it says down here, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter here now, he's assertive. He's characterized by bolder, confident statements. He's confident in his style. When Jesus asks, whom say ye that I am? Peter assertively answers for all and answers confidently and answers correctly, being the leader that he is. Amen. On certain matters and at times we can answer for all people confidently and correctly, and we would do well to do so if we're able. The church needs some good, assertive people that will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the person, trust in him. This is the way, let's get involved. He spoke for them all. He was assertive. Let me ask you a question. Which person are you thus far? Are you stubbornly elusive? Are you impulsive? Are you assertive? Because that's going to be in every church. Assertive people. But there's something about assertive people. Notice down there in verse number 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, Simon Peter, you didn't come up with that on your own. God Almighty gave it to you. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now with this assertiveness, I want you to notice something as we continue to read verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter, the same Peter, took him and began to rebuke him. Now, wait a minute. Began to rebuke Jesus? Can you really rebuke Jesus and get away with it? Began to rebuke Jesus, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. The same assertive people can be at times intrusive people. Intrusive means annoying someone by interfering, intruding where you're not wanted or welcomed. Peter, upon hearing about the crucifixion, blurted out, be it far from thee. Jesus was making a statement of fact. He was not asking for a reply. And so he becomes an intrusive person. By the way, intrusive people will be in every church. They will butt into your conversation when you didn't want them to. They'll give you advice when you didn't ask them for advice. They will tell you something when you don't want to hear something. And by the way, if it's right, then you need to hear it. If it's Bible, you need to hear it. And maybe God made them intrusive to help you out. But here, God didn't need any help. Jesus needed no help. And so intrusive people are going to be in every church. Assertive people are going to be in every church. Thou art the Christ. Impulsive people, bid me come, are going to be in every church. Stubbornly elusive people are going to be in every church. I'll let down the net. And then lastly, this morning, there's another type that's going to be in every church. Offensive people are going to be in every church. They're going to offend you. They're going to make you stumble. Offense means a scandal, to trap or to snare, or an occasion to fall or stumble. Notice as we continue to read. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. And he called Peter Satan. Because at this particular time, Peter is being influenced by Satan. You say, preacher, how could Peter speak so eloquently about him being the Christ on one hand and then be controlled by Satan on the other hand, or influenced by Satan on the other hand? The same way you can walk in the flesh and walk in the spirit. The same way. You can speak eloquently about the things of God by the Spirit of God, but then you can speak demonically by the influence of the devil. Doesn't take a whole lot. All it takes is for your flesh to be in charge. And so we have now the intrusive person that was assertive now turned offensive. Get thee behind me, Jesus said. For thou art an offense unto me. The word offense means an occasion to fall or to stumble. In other words, what Jesus was saying is that, Peter, you're letting Satan try to use you to get me not to do what God has called me to do. May I say that sometimes you and I can be used of the devil to get someone to not do what they should do? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. You're trying to cause me to stumble. You're trying to get me not to do what I'm supposed to do. How dare you say, be it far from thee. I am going to the cross. And you're telling me not to go to the cross. How many times have we given a Christian an out? Well, you don't have to come to church. You don't have to pray. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to memorize scripture. Well, you don't have to tithe. Well, you don't have to give. Well, you don't have to. Now, by the way, you don't have to do any of those things, but to be right with God, you do. And none of those things are going to get you to heaven. But if you want to be right with God, you will do. And oftentimes we'll be an offense to someone by telling them they don't have to do something that God has told them they need to do. Amen. Well, I want to be kind to them. We'll be kind to them in love and tell them the truth. Speak the truth in love. Peter was being instrumentally used by Satan, and Jesus called it out. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. You're trying to cause me to stumble. You're trying to get me not to do the things that I ought to do. He said, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He said, you're speaking for the devil. By what we say, we can cause others to stumble from what God would have them to do. especially if we are persuasive enough. Peter, being a natural born leader, had the capacity to lead others. He couldn't lead Jesus, though. And no matter what he said, he couldn't get Jesus to sway. But Jesus wanted him to know who was speaking, who he was speaking for. He wasn't speaking for God, because God would have him go to the cross. He wasn't speaking for the Holy Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God would have him go to the cross. He was speaking by man and man's wisdom and man's wickedness and being influenced by Satan, because God would have him to do it. And he's talking him out of that. My friend, be careful talking people out of that which God would have them to do. Oh, but they're being impulsive. Then you let God deal with their impulses. Well, they're being assertive. You let God deal with their assertiveness. Well, I think. Well, don't think. Give them to God. Trust God with them. If God is leading, don't talk them out of doing that which is right to do. It's right to do. Peter took him, began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." In every church, there will be those that are offensive people. They will tell people to do something or tell them not to do something that God has told them to do. They'll be in every church. Now, oftentimes they're well-meaning people. Peter is very well-meaning. Peter's trying to help Jesus out. Peter's saying, "This is my friend. This is my confidant. This is the one that's been with me. He's helped me out. And you can't let yourself be crucified. This can't happen to you. You're the Son of God. I just said you're the Christ. And because he is the Christ, he must go. Because he's the anointed one, he must go to the cross. Because he is, he must be crucified. Because he is the chosen one. Because he is going to die for the sins. Because he is the sacrifice. He must go for you and for me. He must go." Peter's very well-meaning. No slam against Peter at all. Oftentimes people, they're compassionate about people. They feel for people and they give them an out. And it's not your place to give anybody an out when it comes to the Word of God. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's not your place. And it was not Peter's place to rebuke Jesus and say, "Be it far from thee. Don't do this." Notice what it says in verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed." He just said, "I must do this and be raised again the third day. I must do this, Peter." Then Peter took him and rebuked him, began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. No, this should not be unto thee. You can't do this." But he said, "I must do this. I must. I must." And so, Christian, be very careful. You can be an offensive person right after being an assertive person. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And I believe with all my heart, Peter meant very well. And I believe with all my heart, oftentimes people mean very well when they give their input. But in their well-meaning, you circumvent what God has said. If somebody wants to tithe, don't tell them they ought not tithe. "Oh, you got too many bills. Let them tithe." Somebody wants to give missions, don't you tell them, "Well, don't do that." If somebody says, "I'm going to be faithful to God and read his word every day," don't tell them they ought not do that. Somebody says, "I'm going to go soul winning." Don't say, "Well, you're not going to do soul winning. You don't want to do that." "Oh, I want to be faithful to every service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday." You don't want to do that. Don't talk them out of that which is right. Don't talk them out of that. Peter here is talking, trying to talk Jesus about doing what's right. And Jesus called it out. He said, "Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God." In every church, you're going to find a Peter. There's going to be some stubbornly elusive people. And when God says, "Let down the nets," plural, they'll say, "I'll let down a net." There's going to be some impulsive people that say, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. You want me to give? Bid me come. You want me to do this? Bid me come. You want me to do this? Bid me come." And they'll be impulsive. And they will do it until the storms come. And when the storms come, they will sink. But I'm so glad that Jesus still saves. There'll be assertive people in every church. Thou art the Christ. They know the right words. They know what to say. They know it's true. But then they may turn right around and be intrusive people and say, "Be it far from thee. You can't do that." And then become offensive people. He said, no, you're an offense to me, Peter. Don't tell me not to do that which I know is right to do. And these people will be in every church. The dangerous part is in the hands of someone like Peter, who's a natural born leader. They can be destructive to the church of God. The good part is under the Holy Spirit of God, like he was in Acts of the Apostles, under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing. You just have to be sure that whatever your character traits are, whatever your temperament is, it's under the control of the Holy Spirit. And you're walking with God. And you're obedient to his word. And you're doing what he wants you to do, not what you think you ought to do. Because, my friend, they're going to be stubbornly elusive people, impulsive people, assertive people, intrusive people, and offensive people in every church. And if you're not careful, they may influence you for bad. But they also can influence you for good. It all depends on where you're at with God. One of the things that I would tell you today, if you're not born again, if you have not trusted the blood of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, let me encourage you, you want to be saved today. You want to have his blood on your life so that you can be born again. The Bible is clear, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Apostle Peter said it so eloquently, I'm a sinful man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible says the wages of those same sins is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Peter said, save me. He meant physically. But guess what? The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? He meant spiritually. There's a place called hell that we can go to. And it's very real. It's not like the water. It's fire. And if we're not born again, we'll go there. And I don't care what your character is like or your temperament. God loves you and wants to save you. And he wants to put you in a local church. And he wants you to be with him like he was with these disciples so that he can change you over time. Your heart changes immediately. Your destination changes immediately. And you change over time as you spend time with him. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Where are you at today? In the local church, we only looked at five of Peter's character traits. He was a natural leader, but he was stubbornly elusive. He was impulsive. He was assertive. He was intrusive. He was offensive. You say, preacher, I see myself in all of those. Maybe you say, I see myself in some of those. Maybe you might say, I see myself in none of those. I assure you, you'll see yourself in some sooner or later. Father, bless these next moments of invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. All across this auditorium, maybe God spoke in your heart today. Would you respond to his call? If you're here today without Jesus Christ, and if you were to die, you're not sure that heaven is your home, I want to pray for you. But I can't pray for you if you don't show me your hand. If you're to die right now, you say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand up and you can put it right back down? Man, woman, boy, or girl. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all across this auditorium. If you would say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a child of God. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. Would you pray for me? Just raise a hand up right where you're at. Put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Raise it up so I can see it out and put it right back down. I won't call you out. Won't call you by name. Just want to pray for you. Next question. How many would say, you know, preacher, I've seen some of Peter and I can see myself in some of these first character traits. Pray for me that the Holy Spirit would have control of my character traits so that I can do the right thing. Pray for me, preacher. You raise your hand. Pray for me. I've got some of these character traits already. Amen. I see several hands going up already. Amen. Are there others? Amen. You may put them down. Maybe you didn't see yourself yet. I assure you, there's some Peter in all of us. Maybe you'll see him next week. But if there are some character traits that you have, and you know that they're really not the best, why don't you ask God to take control of those character traits and work through his local church and make you what he wants you to be, not what you think you ought to be. Father, thank you for these that raise their hand, saying that they have seen themselves so far in one or more of these character traits. And they want those character traits to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe they're a natural born leader. Maybe they're elusive in some way, stubbornly elusive. Maybe they're impulsive. Maybe they're assertive. Maybe they're intrusive. Maybe they're offensive, whatever it is, Lord. Control that temperament under the Holy Spirit of God and help them spend time with you like the disciples did so that you can use them in a greater fashion than you already are. And Lord, that maybe there's one that did not raise their hand, that heaven is not their home and they're curious about it. Trouble that man, that woman, that boy or girl, that they can do that which is pleasing in thy sight. Bless down this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, we're looking around. Just for a moment, as the music begins to play, maybe you need to make a decision for Christ today. Maybe you need to come. And maybe you need to come and get saved. The altar is open. Would you come? Maybe Jesus is pulling at your heart. And you need to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. Would you come? Maybe you've been saved and you need to be baptized. Would you come and present yourself for baptism? Say, preacher, I need to be baptized here in the next days or weeks. That's me. Maybe that's you. Would you come? Maybe you need to join this church. You've been saved. You've been baptized. You're not a member of another church. And you say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm scripturally baptized. I need to join Shining Light Baptist Church. Maybe you need to come. Would you come? Perhaps you found yourself somewhere in Peter. One of those character traits. You want to pray that the Holy Spirit would take control of your life and use you. But you might not be an offense to others. You might not be intrusive to others. You might be assertive where you need to be assertive. You may be impulsive in a good way, thinking about the consequences and not balking. You might not be stubbornly elusive. Jesus says, let down the net. You let down just the net, not the nets. Maybe you need to pray about your own life right now. Peter, I'm not like Peter. I'm more like James, or more like John, or more like Andrew, more like Matthew. Heaven forbid that we're like Judas Iscariot. But we all betray at one time or another. How about you today? A preacher message like this doesn't make me have warm fuzzies. Not designed to make you have warm fuzzies, let you know what type of people are in the local church. And these people types are in every church. Jesus picked Peter on purpose, changed his name to a stone because of his rock-like qualities. Outspoken, outgoing, brash, brutal at times with his words, bold, bullheaded, but a natural born leader. But oh, he was moldable, he was trainable, he was teachable, he was available, he was reliable, he was always with Jesus. He was in the inner circle. Why? Jesus spent time with him. Perhaps you need to spend a little bit more time with him so he can send you to preach, give you the power. Why? Because you are a people that he loves. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these who raise their hand, Lord, saying that they see themselves somewhere in these first qualities that we find in Peter. Lord, thank you for Peter's character. And Lord, yes, he's made some mistakes, but you still loved him and you still love us. And God, I pray for these that raise their hand saying they see some of those qualities. They want you, by the Holy Spirit's power, to have full control over their lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would control by the Spirit of God those characters and quality traits that they may have. They deem are not what they need to be. And Lord, may you help us to allow your Spirit to guide us. Peter had a lot of great things going about himself. And Lord, we have a lot of great things going about us, but nothing unless it's under the control of the Holy Spirit. So help us today to find ourselves and to trust you with us, that we may lead a quality life that's pleasing in God's sight. And Lord, there's one today without Jesus Christ as their Savior. Show them their need that they can be born again today. Thank you for loving us today. Bring us back for our DVD, The Demonic Like Nature of Anger. Max Brother Hall.